Blog Talk Radio.
Under the Bus with me, Pretty Bird. And that song, that wonderful song, was written by our very own Jay Hatter. That is The Words You Cannot Say, with the musical stylings of Shout Even Shy. And so welcome to a team of voices on Blog Talk Radio. And we are a group on allpoetry.com, the world's largest poetry website. Go there. It is free to join. Look up a team of voices and come join all of us here, sharing our poetry, sharing our lives, and sharing love and respect. And in the studio today, we have Sweet Pea. Say hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
And we have Rack and Tor. Hey, Rack.
Hello, hello.
Hi. So, spooky season has begun, and I am so excited because I like all things dark and creepy and weird and odd and kind of gross, and I'm a wee bit morbid, but I'm good with that. And so tonight it is all things ghostly, real life ghost stories, those moments, and not the good guardian angel kind of moments, those moments where there's something out of the corner of your eye. And when you look, it's not there, but you know it was. And so you walk a little faster, or you pull the blanket up over your eyes so you don't see it again just in case it's looking back at you. Those moments. those are the creepy moments I want to start spooky season with, and I'm all excited. So I don't know about y'all, but I have a lot of those creepy moments. So how are you guys with the ghostly realm of things? Do they visit you every now and then? Have you had those chills down your spine for no reason?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, it's funny because I am a 50-50 split of, you know, logic and passion of, you know, what's in my head and what's in my heart. And I tell you what, my logical straight line thinking brain is all like, this is shadows or this is mist or this is this or this is that. And the rest of me is just like, the hairs on my arm are standing up and I saw it looking back at me. I don't care if it's not there now. It was there a minute ago and you can't fool me, old logical brain. And so I literally have, I can hear that conversation, not in actual words because I'm not schizophrenic, but I hear those conversations. They're fighting each other in both halves of my brain. And I'm just like, la, 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 because I don't want to hear anything. I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen and move on. But while I like to be scared, like in movies, and it's hard to get me because I'm just like, yeah, whatever, that's not how it goes. I like to be scared in a movie because, you know, it's not real. Because when you're scared in real life, that literally haunts you. It lingers. You know, you see one creepy shadow, now all the shadows, your eyeball is sideways, like you're not going to, you know, sneak up on me again. But have you ever had any, like, personal encounters? Like, I tend to see things. I tend to see many things. They tend to interact with me. You do not want to look them in the face because they're like, you can see me, and then they don't leave you alone. So that's just, you know, life lesson number 4,247. So there you go. And, no thousands.
No. Well, it's funny. I don't see them, but like, you know, you're rushing out the door and you knock something off the table or whatever, and you know your OCD, you can't leave it laying there. First words out of my mouth: are you kidding me?
You know, it's funny. Okay, first creepy ghost story of the night. Are you ready? Are you ready for my wonderful little truth? Okay, here it goes. Now people are probably going to think I'm all weird. Well, I'm probably weird anyway, so it doesn't matter. I cannot pass a cemetery because anything unsettled follows me. They follow me. I see them following me. They hang out outside my window. Even if I'm on the second story, there'll be a tree, and there they are just looking at me like I am, like, the light they need to follow. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm all shadows. The light is actually bright. It's not this. You're the wrong place. But they follow me, and I can feel them. I went on a business trip and with a conference for like high schoolers and whatnot to meet their senators and whoever the heck is over there in Washington. And a bunch of the counselors are like, listen, this is the last time we're doing all of the little field trips. Come to Arlington. No, come to Arlington. No, you're coming to Arlington. Damn it. And so I go, and while it's beautiful and powerful and massive and really just weighs on you in emotion, it's a long walk to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And that whole entire way, there were hands grabbing me, holding on to me. Like I was trudging through people that were unsettled. And I was like, geez, Louise, I couldn't even walk back. They had to get me a golf cart and walk. And this was 20 some odd years ago. And I was just like, nope, feet are not touching that ground again. It's fine. And so that happens. That happens to me all the time. I can feel all kinds of things because I'm a freak that way. And let's say hello to Lady A. Hello, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I am fabulous. It's the beginning of spooky season, so
yes.
Just warning you. Yes. We're talking real-life ghost stories, and I was just telling everybody how I can't pass a cemetery without, you know, the unsettled wanting to follow me home. And so, you know, first creepy ghost story of the day. So open to everybody. Do you guys have any, have you had any instances where you go into a store or somebody's house or whatever, and there's just a feeling, or you think someone's watching you, or the temperature changes, but only in certain spots, or and not in a good way, because, you know, it there's no reason for it. If it's 90 degrees outside and you're standing there, and all of a sudden, you know, it's all, you know, 60 degrees and a breeze in your ear.
Nothing like that happened to me.
You're no fun.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
they ignore me. I don't.
Oh, I'm telling you what, it happens all the time. Just FYI.
Yes, it does. That's awesome.
You can be walking by anything. My thing is definitely more shadowy than yours. I know that one time, I would say the most vivid time I've ever had is, and this is the worst memory I've ever had, is I had a really rough night of shadows. They were just bothering me. And I don't sleep this way anymore. I used to sleep on my stomach, and too many reasons that I don't anymore. And I always had my hand. I would put my one hand up over under my pillow and my rest my head on it, and then the other hand would always hang over my bed. And one night, I had my hand hanging over my bed, and the whole hand grabbed it and pulled on it. And I saw the hand, I felt the hand and everything, and it just grabbed my hand and would not let go. I didn't scream, I didn't do anything. I was just, you know, it's like, there's a hand coming out of my floor and has my hand. I just didn't know what to do. And I was just like, okay.
Did it feel like it was like a solid hand?
Oh, it was dead solid. It had me. It had my hand. It was a ham and a half an arm just holding on to me. It clasped my hand like somebody holding my hand. And I was like, okay. Obviously, you're frightened than I am because you're trying to come up from somewhere. And I just said, you have to let go. I can't help you. I have nothing here for you. And you're like, oh.
You know,
well,
I have a question for you.
Cried like and shook for the next probably 2 days.
Oh, I bet. And I bet it lingers.
I don't know why, but not my hand never goes over the side of my bed ever again. Ever. No way.
Oh, I don't blame you.
Way.
Well, did it feel okay? Since you didn't scream and you didn't, okay, here is the thing about these things. When they are nefarious, when they are dead set on being there for a purpose that is no good, it feels different. It's not just, go ahead.
I was going to say this one was not nefarious, but I have had the shadows. I don't think he was. Yeah, I don't think that it was, I'm out to get you. It's like, I need help. And because I wasn't, but I have had the nefarious ones where they follow you and they follow you. And I have a way of dealing with them that is my own.
You got to curse them out and send them on their way.
Yeah, I just, you know, I turn around and I'm like, you know what? Either you're going to take me or you're not. The chances are you don't have that power. And
exactly.
I'm very steadfast in that, and it just has to be that way, because you can try to frighten me, and you just have to be very strong, and if you're not, they'll eat you alive.
Yeah, I basically curse them out, because they don't get politeness, because if they're going to bother me, there you go. But I've had them, and I don't know if you want to listen, Lady A, because I know you're sensitive. But
well, I was going to say, like, you guys are scaring the crap out of me. That's like that's so evil spirits and everything. Like, wow.
Well, that one didn't. But I was gonna tell them about one that kind of was. It was sent to me on purpose, and
I'll teach you to pick up people on Craigslist.
So I don't know if you want to, you know, just like cover your ears for a minute. I was in the shower. I was already married, and I was in the shower, and just a day like any other day, and here comes this head, this, like, old lady, like, mean head. I was just like, all right, great, big, giant. I was like, what the heck? And didn't think anything of it. And as I'm drying myself off, I was like, ow. And I looked, and I had four on each side, scratch marks on either side of my back that were bleeding. And Chris was like, what the heck is this? Like, I don't know, but, you know, clean it up, because I couldn't reach it on my back. And by the time he got all the stuff, they were gone. But they were well,
wow.
and I was bleeding, and with a witness, no less.
Did you pray after?
I tend to pray. Well, my relationship in that realm of things is I tend to not pray. I have conversations because, you know, we're on a first name basis. We're good, but always. But I don't pray that away because that's – I don't know how to explain that, but I don't want to get into any kind of religious anything. But you do a little protection.
If there's good spirits, there's bad spirits.
There is.
If there's bad, there's good. And
yes.
So there's just that – your own internal relationship.
I prefer my spirits in stock list.
There you go. Those are the fun kind.
I don't,
you know, I have a naked. I have a naked midget running around my house.
I love your naked midget.
Oh, no lie. And it's been here for like 5 years. And we used to think that it was one of the kids, except for that. Oh no, he's at 2 o'clock in the morning. He's running around. You can hear him running around. We're like, who the heck is up? And little naked midget running through the kitchen. And Chris was like, I liked it better when I couldn't see him. And I was like, who? But the naked midget. I was like, ah, ha, 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 because he stopped bothering me. So, you know, but the little naked midget just bothers him when he's up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's fabulous.
So, yeah, because, you know, like, there's a little bit of fun. Why the heck not? It's funny.
Well,
my family is very, well, not my father because he's very skeptical, but my family is very spiritual, not so much religious. I mean, we did the whole Sunday school and whatever thing. Let's say hello to Deborah Lee. How are you, Deb?
Well, how are you?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. We're telling real-life creepy stories. And
you sound so much better.
I am feeling pretty good right now. I get winded very easily. I've got the oxygen in my nose, and so I might still hack up along if I talk too much because I tend to be verbose. But I'm feeling pretty good, and I love spooky season, so I'm in great spirits. And so I was going to say that I was in Puerto Rico with my sister and my mom, and we went. There's a cemetery that is, because my mother made me, not because I wanted to, and it's right on the water because, you know, it's a tiny little island, and it's on Vieques, a little tiny island on the edge of Puerto Rico. And so we're there and looking for ancestors because everybody on that island is related to us on both sides of my family. And we were looking for somebody specifically because they were supposed to be there, and they apparently she was supposed to find them. Okay, whatever. So I found them in this old thing, no problem. And we get back to the house, and my sister's like, I was about to call the police, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, it's been 6 hours. I was like, it's been like 30 minutes. And she's like, no, it's 7 o'clock. And we're like, no, really?
Wow.
That's not okay. So we lost the whole afternoon and a half an hour in a cemetery on the water. It was a beautiful view, at least, but I don't know where that time went. Have no clue to this day.
Alien abduction.
I'm talking about, I knew where I was, but I just wasn't there for 6 hours. So, fun stuff.
You have no idea what happened during those 6 hours?
No, we were just in the cemetery looking for the grave, and I found it fairly quickly, and then we left.
That was the whole
thing. There was no lost time. There was no blacking out. There was no nothing. nothing. We went there, we thought, we found it, we left, and then it was 6 hours later.
Oh, no, there's something else that's going on. You're just not aware of it right now.
I would pull that lost time. You think it's a half hour and it was 6 hours, come on. That's lost time to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, like there's no blackouts. There's no
like
sense
aware
of missing. Yeah. There's no sense of that. Yeah.
The other thought that would lead to is how they say, you know, time flies when you have fun. Just didn't realize that you have that much fun in a cemetery.
No, crazy thing. This cemetery, because it's on the water, and it is above ground. They're just these big old cement crypts above ground. So and it's all on cement to try to thwart erosion, because it's literally the edge of the cemetery drops into the water. And so it was the weirdest thing ever. I was like, ew, all right. And of course, it's not in the water, it's falling into the ocean. What was that?
Do they have voodoo on that island?
Well, no, not voodoo in the sense of actual voodoo, no. But I don't know if you're using that as a generic term for other spiritualistic things.
Well, black magic, you know.
Well, see, again, I don't equate black and white with good and bad. And I don't know about – there are religions, there are other things, there are spiritual things, there are relationships with saints. There's a whole faction of things that run through the entire Hispanic community. It's not island-specific. But it is not voodoo. It is not let me stick needles in a doll. It's nothing like that. But there are a lot of healing rituals and things like that. But it doesn't even have to be full on that with the high priestesses of whatever. It's just as a people, we are very well aware that other realms exist. You know?
Yeah.
So there's never it's not like. Yeah, it's just it's like you're raised with it, so it's not like a shock or anything. It's just kind of how things are.
But I don't think it's even specific to the Hispanic community. I think that's everywhere. Like, I mean, if you're Catholic, if you're Irish Catholic, there's those stories, if you will, of good and bad spirits and what happens during any kind of encounter of that kind. So I think along, I don't want to talk religion because there's a great huge difference between being religious and being spiritual.
Yeah.
So, but if you want to look at like religion part of it, I think that every religion has a segment of it that teaches that there's evil and to beware of it, you know, whatever you want to call it, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, or whatever you want to call it. There's dark spirits out, and that's why this kind of thing makes me afraid, because I do believe that is out there, that those spirits are out there, and we need to gird ourselves against it, you know, to protect ourselves. And if you want to call it prayer or meditation or whatever, I think it's important to protect ourselves from inviting that sort of thing into our lives, I guess. I don't know.
Well, there's a difference.
Why, it's just my opinion.
No, you're fine. There's a difference between like saying opening portals with, you know, Ouija boards and things like that, where who knows what if it works because people believe and it comes in. There's a difference between that and just everyday things, because I find that when it comes to evil, it hides in plain clothes and solid bodies more so than anything that's going to be coming at you at night. I think that the more afraid people are, the more any kind of and it doesn't matter the spirit. They are tricksters, and they like to have fun. And if you're afraid, well, they're going to have a laugh at your expense. And if you're just like, I'm trying to sleep, go away, they're like, well, you're no fun, and things like that. But not everybody can see. Not everybody believes. You don't have to believe to see, and you don't have to. And a lot of people that see still don't believe. So, you know, there's a lot of mind over matter.
Yes, I agree with that. But don't you think, going back to your story and losing 6 hours of your time, like, don't you think that there is that possibility that there was a place,
no,
a space somewhere that you were gone, that you were unaware of, and still,
no,
are unaware of where it was, but there's obviously
not
6 hours
even
missing
bit
out of your life.
I don't. Simply because I've seen dead people since I was an infant, and it wasn't like that. It was more of a forgiveness thing, because this person in my family kind of killed people, and I come from a family of pirates and stuff. So, you know, he was not good. Did bad things to my great grandmother. All kinds of stuff. And I can see that. And I guess my mother was called there to forgive him, but she was all like, yeah, got to go, bye. And so the way it feels to me is that whole process is kind of like when you sleep and you dream a lifetime, but you wake up and it's 5 minutes later, you know, but the opposite. So it wasn't anything that I was taken elsewhere or that there were things going through me. It's just, it's different. There are two different timelines. Like time is different in realms. And so it was just another day. It wasn't even that we were just laughing about it. It wasn't even out of the ordinary, because it kind of, you, when you grow up with things like that, bad, you know, it's bad. It's not a question. They don't hide it. It's so if it's not out to hurt you, it ain't no big deal, you know?
Wow.
It's just, it's something I see every day. Every day. And let me tell you what, since I've been sick, here's a little nugget for all y'all. Since I have been sick and home, they didn't go anywhere near the hospital, but since I have been sick, there has been an endless line of people just making sure I'm alive. Just all of them, all over the place. Like, there's an entire army out there. I'm like, for the love of Stinky Pete, give me a couple of hours to sleep and move the F on. Come check on me in the morning, just not now. Because it's whenever there's a shift, I know. And so my eyes are back open. I'm just like, really? And they're like, and some of them are like, you can see me. Like, they don't actually talk, but you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't get excited, just move on. And, you know, it's just a pain in the butt. Usually they leave me alone. In fact, I was a little upset because when I had my second child, it was a little too much for me. My husband was working all the time and he was out of town more often than he was home. And then I was pregnant again with my third back to back. And I was just like, I can't deal with all this nonsense. I'm done. And I didn't see anything for about 5 years. And while it was great to start with, after about 6 months, it felt a little empty, because when you've had something be a part of your life since you were born, basically, it's a big difference to have it not be there.
Like losing your sense.
What?
It's like losing one of your senses. Like,
well,
going deaf.
It's not even that. It's just quiet. It's kind of like, I've got a kid that's on the computer all day, all night, all day, all night, all day. I'm like, there's always a clickety clack, clickety clack. You don't even think about it. It's not even really much of a sound. He went out of town for a couple of days, and I was just like, holy crap, there's a silence in here that I cannot. I had to turn the TV on. And it was kind of like that. It was just silent. And I didn't realize how much room that it took up, because they're just there. Like, it's almost like walking down, not like a street in New York in rush hour, but, you know, a busy enough street where there's people, you know, there's just always people. You're never quite in a space by yourself. And it's, so when you are, it's almost palpable. There's that.
Pretty amazing stuff. You're braver than I am, because it's amazing stuff, but at the same time, it's real stuff. and
It's just.
I mean, you handle it the way you handle it, and that's good that you can handle it. But I'm too much of a chicken to handle it any other way than other than being afraid. You know.
Chicken tastes good.
I can completely understand that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, fear is a safety mechanism. It's there for a reason, and. You know, while sometimes it can, you know, too much trepidation can hinder things, you know, it's there for a reason, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you know, we all do things to keep us safe, body, mind, and soul. And so there is no judgment. You are perfectly fine the way you are. I don't want you to think that just because I'm all like, I see dead people, that I in any way think that's normal, because I don't. You know.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wish I could shut it off, and you know, and sometimes it's quiet. I'm just like, oh crap, something's coming, you know. And it's just part of my everyday. And it's funny, I'll sit up or I'll turn real fast, and Chris is like, anyone, you know? And I'm like, can't tell yet, you know.
Wow.
It's funny. Oh, here's a benign one. Okay. Okay, as soon as I am done, we will start poetry with Sweet Pea first. But here's this little story. When I met Chris, we were just dating, and I had got him a dog. I guess we were dating a year. And he had run out. And I was like, ugh. And then, so I went out to go and find him. And he was just standing there at the end of this leash. And I was like, okay, thanks. And because there was this little old lady, and I came back in, da 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 da. And they were like, that was quick. I was like, yeah, this sweet little old lady had him at the end of a leash. And she's like, yeah. I was like, yeah. But she looked like this, and she had the curlers in her hair, and she's wearing this blue house, has the flowers, and he's really old, big pink fuzzy slippers, and she had this really nice smile, and his mom was there, and she like dropped whatever was in her hand, and she and looked at him and was like, did you tell her? And she's like, and he's like, nope. And I was like, what? Apparently that was their next door neighbor for many, many years, and she died like 5 years before. I was like, well, she really likes her dog, and like it was nothing. It's like, here you go. And they're like, okay then. And I was like, oops, my bad.
But did you ever tap into that part of your part of your brain that you can use as to benefit other people?
I don't like other people, to be honest.
Oh.
I have a problem with human nature, because I feel lies, I feel deception, I feel intimidation, I feel it all. It doesn't matter if I'm on the phone, it doesn't matter if I walk by somebody, I absorb shadows like a sponge through my own experience. And because of that, I tend to stay away from crowds, I self-isolate, I'm just not generally in the mood, because it's not something I can control. If I'm kind of shadows, and so I absorb other people's shadows, and so they feel better. Everybody feels better, and then I have to carry that crap home. So I don't really do people often.
Yeah.
But,
I'd love for you to talk to somebody that I know that she's a medium. I'd love for you to talk to her.
Oh, I have no interest. Not to be rude, but when it comes to other people that see. They have a big problem with me, always have, because I went to get my cards read once just for fun. They're like, they looked at me, they pulled out their cards, they put them away, said, you don't need to be here. There's nothing that I can tell you that you don't know. I was like, well, that doesn't help me. Take my money and read me. And they're like, no. I was like, all right then. And so people that feel, they think that I'm like, I don't know a thing. I don't know. Apparently, I don't know the things that I can do, but other people do. So it's very awkward and very, very, very weird. Do I help other people? I will say this. I can't walk by somebody that I know is going through something and not say hello.
and they'll start talking, and I will say something completely random, don't know what it is, has nothing to do with anything, and it always means something to them. So that's about the extent of it. And then I run out of there as fast as I can because I don't want to absorb any more than I need to because I can't get rid of it. I can't process it out as neutral. But having said that, I put Miss Sweet Pea up on the wall for tonight's first poem. Are you ready, Sweet? Are you on mute, Sweet?
That got your tongue.
I am changing my poem on you.
You see how you are? That's fine.
I know.
Just put it up when you're ready. Did you pick it already?
I have it. Yeah, I kind of love that one because it's dark and it's crazy, but this one is more like shadows.
Awesome.
Yeah, I kind of thought you'd like this one.
Okay, before you start, that eyeball is creepy as all get out, Deb.
Okay.
You're welcome.
And this is what, that eyeball is what made me go, oh, I haven't read this in a long time, and I really should. Thank you, Deb, for the eyeball.
Blame it on me.
I am.
I like it.
Where's the eyeball?
Oh, I already love it by the title.
Oh, dear.
Whenever you're ready, girl.
All right, Blood Night by Sweet Pea. Mystery holds my circumstances, its cloud of gray and black parade and matrimony, with lightning and thunder like newlyweds, the sound cannonades across the sea of sin, and depreciates my mere existence. Winds whip the delicacy of leaves and topple the strength of masonry idols. Raindrops slap the ground to the tune of the blues, the melody that summons me to you. You stand in the shadows of the night, minimizing the power of moonlight. Earth reverberates, trembling upon itself, defying the fortification that bore you, a soulless saint. Shreds of terror shall wail from my throat. Nay, my belovedness still craves to save the callousness of your tongue-dying heart. My body feels only pain, and just pining to intertwine in our ecstasy. On my knees, I beg you, Master, I swear, I have not displeased the order. Take this life as yours, indulge yourself in lust. I simply ask you never to leave me alone again. Nate's cliche, blood drops, green eyes, death looks straight ahead. Puncture holes in her neck, smiling like she isn't dead. Another odd and crazy New Orleans mystery. But this cannot be what it seems, not in 1860 in Paul.
So you're going to bring that again on Halloween, right?
I'm not going to be here on Halloween.
You're not going to be here on Halloween?
No.
It's a pretty sweet tease on Halloween. You're killing me. It's fine.
I know. I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to be coming
home. All right. That's fine. I can't begrudge you that. But this, oh my goodness. That first verse is so perfect. Okay, I love storms, and I not so much the hurricanes, but I love thunder, and I love the sound of a hard rain, and I find it very soothing. And this whole mystery and matrimony I love that and depreciates my mere existence. Like, it's just this power in and of itself. And how beautiful is that written about things that oftentimes just kind of scare people. It's always scared every dog I've ever had, the thunder. I love how this morphs from the more existential or ethereal, the outside, to take my life, I'm giving it to you. To you, my benevolence still craves to save the callousness of your undying heart.
My body feels only pain. It is pining to entwine in our ecstasy. I am loving this. There are 16 different layers of, ooh, it's a vampire. Ooh, it's what you give when you love somebody with all of who you are. This is the flip side of what draws you in. Give me what I want and I'll do it for you. It's everything. Here, take me as I am. Do with me what you will. And I will gladly go through it because it makes you happy. And I am loving this. Just don't leave. Here, take it all. I will suffer through it gladly. Just stay. And it's a little heartbreaking. And it's a little vampiric, which is my favorite of all monsters, all Prince Charming at night. And it's just beautifully written. And I can read every verse of this and twist it in 16 different ways because it's kind of like all things at once. And that's like magic. It's awesome. So I haven't read the other one, but I'll read that one too. And but I'm glad that you brought this one because, ooh.
I can't believe you haven't read the other one. The other one is so good.
I think I did because I remember the picture, but it was a long time ago. But I haven't read it. Is that a – oh, man. That's the one that punches me in the gut?
Yeah.
Oh, man. With the eyeball, for Pete's sake, it just popped up on my screen. So listen, Miss Deb. It's not my story. It's going to give anybody nightmares. It's these things. Their eyes are going to be closed, so they're going to see these eyeballs.
Well, there's a grin for you, since you like vampires and all.
I do. So, Miss Deborah Lee, what do you think of this Blood Knight?
Well, I must say, for one, I'm kind of glad that the eyeballs on the wall reminded you of this and sent you for it this week, because years ago, I think this is when you started to shine light on darkness and earn your reigning title of Dark Queen with stuff like you stand in the shadows of the night, minimizing the power of moonlight. Earth reverberates, trembling upon itself as if defying the fornication that bore you, a soulless saint. Yeah, and it's just as amazing this time around because I'm always in awe when the same stanza grabs me as it did the first time I heard it. You are a superstar. Own it.
Thank you. I don't think I'll ever own something like that, but thank you.
Well, that's all right. We'll just have to remind you all the time. So, raconteur.
True.
What are your
thoughts? Speaking of reminding her, I'll stalk her at my own peril. It's okay. like you said, it's gorgeous. It's the idea of giving yourself, you know, not just, you know, I accept you for who you are. It's, you know, take all of me. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, be careful what you ask for almost. It makes me think of stuff like that, you know. It's like, well, this is what you're getting into. And, you know, even when it's something as fatal as you know, giving your own life, it's still something that at the end of the day, you know, someone would consider because of, you know, the value of what she's offering.
Thank you, Rack.
With all the deepness. And Miss Lady A, what do you think of Blood Knight? Are you on mute?
She's crying.
Yes,
in the other
I am. Talking away with nobody listening, okay. This really is very dark. Is the simplest form of description for this. Uh, when you read the, let me see, shreds of terror should wail from my throat, nay, my benevolence still craves to save the callousness of your undying heart. My body feels only pain. It is pining to entwine in our ecstasy. So there's sensuality throughout this, little S&M maybe going along with that. You know, on my knees I beg thee, Master, I swear I have not displeased the order. Take this life, it is yours. Indulge yourself in lust. I simply ask you never leave me alone again. So there's a neediness there. There's a submissiveness throughout this piece as well. And there's a fear of her being alone is laced throughout this piece. But it's just a very eerie darkness, a very eerie lonesomeness. And there's really nothing that she can do to change it. And another odd and crazy New Orleans mystery. But this cannot be what it seems, not in 1863. Great piece. Scary as shit, but it's great.
You know, New Orleans has a long and vivid history of haunted places, and
yep.
It would be really amazing to look at this like, you know, this is the haunting, and, you know, because I'm all things creepy. So I'm going to probably read that 15 times tonight in just 15 different scenarios of fabulous.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Yeah.
I am going to put Miss Deborah Lee up on the board, and then we're going to hit a couple of sound clouds. But are you ready to read, Miss Deb?
Sure thing.
Awesome. Ew, that's a picture.
I am running. Here we go. Okay. All right.
Yep.
This is called The Corn Cobs Are Wicked, but not slobs. Here we go. Car engine sputters, then conks out, and no street lamps line the highway side. Dusk slips into the canopy, chasing the light, then the crimson clouds and the twilight collide. The sun sets, painting the darkening skyline with dogwood buried tints over the ebony view. Corncob alone floats with respiration motion, spreading fertilizer fragrance in dying roses too. A woman climbs out, then slams the car door, holding her cell phone, shining the flashlight up. Her black stilettos click on the asphalt as she walks, then her pupils dilate and she hears the thunder snap. Soft night voices whisper, surfing on the breeze in the shadows at the barn, painted with blood out back. Now, as those shadows waltz into the maze of rows, rustling winds wave the thick husks on the man-high corn. With no town and no houses in sight, she runs, but corn cob dwarfs with corn kernel eyes jump her, grabbing her ankles and yanking her in the barn doors. They strap her to a wood pile and legs shake and eyes blur. Eyelids flutter and the pain travels on her flesh, jets in the bloodstream and hits like a military rocket. On top of the stall, she spots a skull and red blood pool with maggots munching eyeball goo in the bloody sockets. Four corncob dwarfs stood gnawing her kneecaps. Mosquitoes crawled up her nostrils and into her throat. Barbed wire straps cut slices into wrists and ankles, and on the floor she sees a torso, guts swollen from bloat. Children sew her lips with cross-stitched fish line, leaving silence in the place of screams as she sobs. Dozens of round-toothed dwarfs chew shredding skin as pieces rain down over rats on the ground in red globs. Rodents wrestle in the juicy bits as they snarl and they hiss till no traces mark the land. every drop devoured by the mobs. And pull.
And I'll never go to Nebraska.
Oh.
And this is fabulously vivid. This is quite gruesome, and I absolutely love the detail with the eyeball goo. And the sobbing as they're just sewing her in little X's so she can't scream. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. And then you've got the rats and the swollen torso from the last one, and she, you know, wakes to the people just eating her ankles, these little corn cob munchkins. And that is not okay. That is awesome. The barbed wire, there's such detail. Like, you can just see it. It, like, plays like a movie. It is just amazing. I mean, you knew something was going to be there with, you know, the corn cob cologne and the fertilizer fragrance. I was like, oh. And so it begins. And so I'm just sitting here just watching it unfold in full Technicolor. And I love it when it does. It's excellent storytelling. Perfect for spooky season. It is absolutely right up in it. And you know, on those long, dark roads when you're by yourself and, you know, where you really don't want to break down. And then this happens, you know, it's Leatherface, it's every creepy thing ever. It is just not good. And this is perfect. Absolutely loved it. So, Lady A.
Yes.
Well,
you know what, Deb, this is really pretty amazing. And you just wrote this a couple of hours ago, and I just want to draw the people's attention to these few lines that are just creepazoids onto each other. Okay, just a minute. Where did it go?
New Jersey.
Oh, yes. With no town and no houses in sight, she runs. Now, we've all had that dream, right, or that nightmare. She runs, but corn cob dwarfs with corn kernel eyes jump her, grabbing her ankles and yanking her in the barn doors. They strap her to a wood pole as legs shake and eyes blur. That alone is enough to make you go to church, really. And so then you have, where's the other? Oh, of course, then you have the maggots. Okay, I could read this whole poem, Deb, but I won't. But I'll just say, on top of the stall, she spots a skull and red blood pool with maggots munching eyeball goo in the bloody sockets. And there's more that I want to read, but it's really, really, really gruesome. And, you know, gnawing kneecaps and mosquitoes crawling up your nose. And, oh, my goodness. But the worst of all, the most vivid, it's all exceedingly vivid. But then children sew her lips with cross-stitch fish line, leaving silence in the place of screams as she sobs. Best two lines in the whole poem, which is excellent from beginning to end, but those two lines are just, and the dwarfs just are not giving up at all, are they? They just aren't. Oh my God, this is really something.
Thank you
very much.
It is. You're on a roll tonight, Miss Deb. And Sweet Pea, what do you think of the eyeball goo?
Well, I just learned corn does more than pop. It crunches and munches and devours the bone. Yummy.
I'm telling you.
She blamed me for the eyeball. I'm blaming her for the darkness in my poem.
I'm just saying, this is just really, really good. And I mean, the imagery, this is just brilliant. I can't tell you how much this is like. This is Hitchcock meets Spielberg and Clive Barker all in one. It's like a cauldron of, let's see how dark we can make it, and it just all spewed out. I mean, children with showing lips with fish line and screaming sobs and brown tooth dwarfs.
All the good work.
Oh, my God. Mosquitoes throwing up your, you know, crawling in your nostrils and barbed wire cutting wrists and ankles and got swollen from bloat. I mean, you held nothing back. I love maggots munching eyeball goo. Yeah, this is good. Maggots munching
eyeball
goo.
She actually gave you a visual for that, if you look on the board.
I know. Well, I just, it's like a little song. You could, like, sing around a campfire. Maggots munching eyeball goo, eyeball goo, eyeball goo.
Only to the
clue so jolly.
Got a little campfire tune.
Yeah.
They pop in the fire.
Yeah, oh, it's like you have your little marshmallows and let me sausage.
Listen, I cannot be the only one that has to live with the vision of this maggot riddled eyeball. Please just go look at the board.
Okay. Yummy. Oh, God. Oh, yummy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for not making me suffer alone. I was like, at first I thought it's mouth, and then I'm like, oh, no.
She saw it for gruesome.
Oh, my goodness. That is awesome, awesome, awesome. That is absolutely hysterical. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yummy.
Oh, dear.
That is fabulous.
Anybody got a fishing pole?
Oh, my goodness.
I like it.
So we are coming up on midnight, so let us do announcements. So, Lady A, you are up tomorrow, so tell us all about it.
Yes. Tomorrow night we're going to have, oh, my God, look at that other picture Deb to put up there with the maggots coming out of the...
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, nobody's sleeping tonight.
Okay, so here's what it's going to be about tomorrow night. I've come back to A Soft Place to Fall, and I'm talking about rejection tomorrow evening for those who would like to write in with rejection of whatever kind of rejection you've experienced. And what, you know, to write a poem reflecting that and what was done about it or if anything or how you feel about being rejected and what condition does it leave you in kind of thing. And there's a quote here. Well, I think there's several quotes that I put up there that you can look at, and they're not, you don't have to use them, but they're there to kind of help you get some inspiration. And, you know, rejection is not fatal. It's merely someone's opinion is one of them. May I read some of them, or?
You can read a couple.
Okay. And then Marilyn Monroe has a quote saying, sometimes I feel my whole life has been one big rejection. And then I'll just say, you rejected me, but I stood strong to prove that you were wrong. So there's lots of food for thought. Come and join
Absolutely.
Me at 9 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night, Wednesday, the 6th of October.
October.
And just tell me how you feel.
Awesomeness,
and we'll have
awesomeness.
Yeah.
And that could be any side of rejection, right? It knocks you down
yes.
or fortifies you.
Yep.
And awesome. Perfect,
yep.
Perfect. And sweet, tell us all about Thursday.
Thursday night is the crazy things that actually exist in this world that are scarier than all heck. I have some pictures up of things that we see possibly out and about, ways people dress in mannequins, a beautiful statue that will welcome you to Denver, Colorado. Some other weird things that people thought, hey, this is a good idea. That might just scare the bejesus out of you. So there's some pictures that are, if you want to bring your own, of things you might have seen around your world, go ahead, bring it on. But real things people thought were not scary, but really are. So look at the pictures and have some fun.
So I noticed, Miss Sweet, that first picture is a bunch of birdies that are hanging in nooses. You're trying to tell me something.
No, but I saw it and I went, why would someone think that's the best way to sell off the birds in their shop? And I couldn't believe it. And I thought, okay.
Well,
there
you know,
go.
A partridge in a pear tree. They didn't say if it was perched.
I guess not. But, yeah.
So there's
some
fabulous, fabulous. That is awesome. And Miss Deborah Lee, what's going on over the weekend?
What's going on over the weekend? I think starting on Friday, things are going to get sweet and dour. Is that how I understand it, my sweet?
Yes, I haven't heard from the dower, so I'm waiting to find out what we're doing.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, you could tease a little. So everybody else knows what we're talking about.
Friday night is sweet and dour. From a mile high to the land down under, we will be getting together and kind of sweeping the airways with Sweet Pea and Mr. A.P. Taylor. So be ready for that.
Oh, my. So what kind of topic
for the two of them get together?
Right?
Sure.
It won't be boring, that's for sure.
Right? That's what I'm talking about. And then Saturday at 11, it is soup, wherever that word takes you.
Oh, it takes me to I have a story. Oh, thank you. Good. Perfect timing.
Are you anywhere that word takes you, and then I'm sure you guys will tell us what's happening Sunday. And on Monday we go through cupcake torture. So pick your cupcake, and Rack and Tour, you have no excuse now because you don't need one of my photos. Imagine your most favorite cupcake and write me a poem about it.
She's on the board.
So we don't have a thing for Sunday yet, do we, sweet?
No, we don't.
So that'll
I think it should be as long as, like, your best date compared to Carrie.
The what?
I think it should be something like you're dating Carrie or something like that. Date your favorite monster.
Oh, well, there you go.
I don't know.
I like that. That could be interesting.
I'll put up pictures of, like, Carrie and Frankenstein and have them pick their mate.
Well, we have it'll be something along those lines, so keep an eye out. And so awesomeness, I have put Mr. Budo up on the board. He's awesome. I put this prompt up a week ago, and like I swear within 5 minutes he's like woohoo, and I was just like, oh, that's awesome. So I was all excited because I was a little half dead last month, so I didn't even know if, you know, people would even notice me up there. And within minutes, it was just awesome. It was the best feeling. So thank you, bud. So I'm going to go ahead and read for him. Let me know when you see it.
Like, people could not know you. But
no,
I got to go.
Notice
I'm going
to
respect everyone.
Okay. Good night, Steph. So let me. You guys see him up on the board?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It goes like this. This is one night. I was invited for a weekend in sunny Wilson, Carolina, that hot, steamy summer. Oh, nothing could be finer. With Christopher, my brother, and his sweet gal, Miss Candy, two dogs, and several goldfish brought my tool bag to be handy. Dinner went over well, fried chicken, mashed taters, greens, and apple pie. For more, I asked for sure. But as the sun set quietly behind dark willowed trees, a change became evident in an icy, chilled breeze. Chris said it was drafty up in the attic rafters. I had to investigate as soon and thereafter. I went slowly upstairs, armed only with flashlight. The beam caught a thick fog in the blackest of nights. Just then, saw red eyes staring right back at me. I screamed like the dickens, and boy, did I flee. Down the flight of stairs, I tumbled and rolled, nonstop cry of terror, a ghastly sight to behold.
That night I slept on couch with both dogs, they whimpering, listening to noises from the attic, the moans and the whispering. I shivered and shook awake all through that long night with both Shepherd and Boxer, our eyes full of fright. Sunrise broke finally, and the noises abated. The three of us breathed finally in air so elated. My brother slept soundly, he and his girlfriend, missing the commotion I thought would not end. He gave me the lowdown as I listened quietly over breakfast that morning. He spoke soft and politely. Their quaint farmhouse served as a Civil War hospital. The soldiers upstairs where death dealt a toll. I decided to leave that very morning instead and took one photo of them on the porch of their homestead. And in the photo developed in an attic window above, a wispy white figure with white cap and long gloves. A true story. I love that. That's all it says. A true story, ... in his author's notes. That is fabulous. I would love to see that picture, bud. That is amazing.
Yeah.
There is a creepiness, a vibe, when spirits are attached to a place and that is their home and they're not going anywhere. And it's not that they are attacking you or having any of this, you know, movie haunting nonsense, but they're there and their energy is stuck there. They would be there even if the house wasn't. So I find it interesting that his brother's just sleeping out there up there doing their thing. It's fine. They're not bothering anybody. And him and the dogs are like, hell no. Like, I'm gone, thanks. And then to get the proof, and when you get that picture back, that there it is, a reminder of that scary night when in the middle of a Carolina summer, it's icy chill. I love this story. I do. So, Sweet Pea, what do you think of this one night in Wilson, Carolina? Are you muted, Miss Sweet?
I am very muted. Well, I will tell you, there's a lot of things in Carolina, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and all of there. There are some scary places down there, and there's a lot of haunting going on. I mean, there is a lot of bad juju down in the South, and I'm telling you, I can absolutely believe every word of anything that he said. But as the sun set quietly behind dark willow trees, the change became evident in an icy chill breeze. That just sets me like, because things that happen in willow trees and under willow trees and you have no idea how many bodies are buried or where they were buried or how they were buried or what happened. I agree, man, especially when you get dogs, the dogs involved.
If the dogs are there, you know something's up.
Yeah, you know something's up. You know what? Their quaint farmhouse serves as a Civil War hospital. The soldiers upstairs where death dealt a toll. I am just, and that's why, you know, down south, you can just walk around and you can just feel it. You can feel it in places. And I spend a lot of time in the south. And there are. They're just, you can walk and you'll be like, oh yeah, something happened here. Some bad juju's here. And when you walk into some of these old houses that are 100, 200 years old, you know, or 100, not 200, but some of them are, but that's a different story. But, you know, you're walking and you can feel it. And I have no doubt in my mind. And I love that the photo developed and a wispy white figure was there with a cap and long gloves. Because there's something that's there. Man, you know, this just totally gives me the chills. And wow, this is awesome. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
He does creepy good, doesn't he?
That eye staring back at me. I just love this.
And Rack, what do you think? Yes? Go ahead.
I just do. I just love it. The energy he brought forth in it is just, it's just like, man, sit down and tell me this at a campfire over a cup of coffee because I just want to grab more and more and more like details from it. Good job, man.
Absolutely. And you know, there's something about those three words in the AN, true story, that just, you know, just tightens that up, that just under your skin a little bit, you know, that it when it's more than just a story. I love that. And Rack, what are your thoughts of this little ghostie?
Maybe it was the way you read it. It had a kind of a Night Before Christmas feel to it, the flow. But I like you said, I enjoyed the story. I had a chuckle in the beginning, though, because I've never known anyone to take their goldfish on vacation. But that was the only thing that kind of just was like, you know, I was waiting for something to happen with the fish. But the story was beautiful. I mean, you know, I like the idea of it. And I was thinking, you know, if it wasn't a full-sized soldier or whatever, you might have gotten some clothes for your midget.
Oh, my goodness. He wouldn't wear them anyway.
Yeah, probably not. Well, the glove.
And Lady A, give us a comment for Mr. Bud, and I put you up on the board.
Okay. Well, this was rather intriguing to read and to listen to. I thought that their quaint farmhouse served as a Civil War hospital. The soldiers upstairs were death dealt a toll. Love that. I mean, I don't love it, but I love how he wrote this. I decided to leave that very morning instead and took one photo of them on the porch of their homestead, and the photo developed in an attic window above a wispy white figure with cap and long gloves. That was very scary. Very well written. All right. And I'm going to read my poem. And it's an older poem. I haven't read it for quite a while. It's 4 years old, but it's called Evil Comes to Mind. His eyes rolled like a marble on the floor. Demonic orbs looked back as though he donned a mask. Spittle spewing, spraying, each word hate displaying. Evil comes to mind, evolved since the dawn of time. Bone-chilling screams vomit from within, followed by a cry like heart and soul died. Eyes mirror his past. Horrors echo and hold fast, escaping, caused a split, fractured. He's left adrift. Light strikes mirror glass. Cries resonate, lungs collapse. Starting reflected image seen. He sees himself. Screams. And poem.
Oh, I love this. Look at you being all creepy. I like, you know, bone-chilling screams, vomit from within. I love that line. Love, 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 love that line. And it starts off, I mean, you just jump right into it. His eyes rolled like a marble on the floor. I mean, you can just see it. And just the image of that. It's, you know, in a person is really just like movie kind of gross. And so you expect the whole exorcist, you know, demonic orbs looking back as though he donned a mask. I really love the vividity of this piece. I can speak. His eyes mirror his past, horror echoes and holds fast, escaping, caused a split, fractured. He's left adrift like his mind has had enough. I am loving this. This is another one that it's all creepy and ghoulish, but it screams of, you know, me having a mind that hates me. It kind of screams of mental torture, and it is really just quite wonderfully written. It really is. So
Rack and Tor, what do you think when evil comes to mind?
You never know, this kind of stuff scares you, lady. I really like it. There's a parallel. Odin at one point, I guess, plucked his eye out. So you made me think of that when you talk about the eyes rolling on the ground. But the whole thing overall is it's a great piece of scary literature. There, you really did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Miss Sweet Pea, so Lady A goes dark. How do you like it?
I love Dark Lady A. I've read a few of Dark Lady A, and she's quite lovely. Spittle, spewing, spraying, eastward hating, slaying, evil comes to mind, evolved since dawn of time. I wasn't born at the dawn of time. I'm not quite that old, my dear. But I do love that you pay homage to me. this is gorgeous and beautiful, and I really love the rhyme, and you did such a great, I mean, I just love the alliteration and the way it rhymes and the way it goes, and I love, you know, escaping caused a split, fractured, he's left to drift. And I almost did not want to even leave a comment on this, because you had exactly 13 likes and comments. I'm like, oh, I'm going to ruin it if I say anything. But I had to, because it's beautiful and lovely, and I left you, you know, this great comment and just telling you how beautiful it was. And you did one, you won gold on it because it was so very well deserved.
Absolutely.
It was just a perfect piece of horror. But yes, I broke the 13 curse on it by writing my own comment. But it was just a
thank
perfect
very much.
Package.
I wonder, you know, when I wrote this and when it was read the first time, there was a part of this poem I don't think anybody got, and I don't think anybody got it this time either. And I'm wondering if anybody realized the second last verse, eyes mirror his past, horrors echo and hold fast, escaping cause a split, fracture, he's left to drift. Who can tell me what that they think that means?
But me with my psychology background, I'm all like, well, that other personality is has taken over.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, a split personality indeed, yeah.
See, my sci-fi of me is like he's left in the mirror, like stuck in the mirror, and he's going to have to stay inside looking out at him, like looking out at himself playing a role.
Yeah.
Like I'm
you know,
figure,
and
like
I
literally
love
seeing
that.
That stuck in a mirror.
That is, well, it, you know.
And then he realizes at the end, like he's wondering, you know, who this other person is. And
I'm
then
like
he realized, yeah, that it's him, yeah. Very good. Very good class.
Why, thank you. And I, unfortunately, am going to take a night. I am taking my night medicine to help me sleep for a little while, a couple weeks here, because life is just overwhelming me a little bit. So, I love you all.
I'll hold your hand.
I'm going to say goodnight as well.
Well, y'all
don't
just leave
me alone.
I guess it's going to be you and me, Rack. Well, you know, at least I'm in good
sorry.
Company. I you're all good company, but, you know.
Sorry.
Yeah, I stay, but I haven't been sleeping well at all, and I need to get to bed. I'm actually in bed right now, so I need to go to sleep.
And Lady A, I won't be on your show tomorrow. Please don't hate me, but it is my wedding anniversary.
I won't hate you.
Oh, happy anniversary!
Thank you. I'll be out for the with my husband.
What are you going to be doing?
I don't know. It's a surprise.
It's not that
it's
kind of show.
Is he getting you any of that special lotion that you got for Christmas?
I don't know. They bought it for me. I don't know. I was just told that to tell my friend that it wasn't going to be on the radio tomorrow.
Have a lovely evening.
Yes.
Thank you.
I hope you have a great time and happy anniversary. And get some rest.
Happy anniversary.
If you're lucky, you might need it.
Yeah. I might need it. All right,
good night,
guys. Have a great one.
Good night,
ladies. Bye. Little woman.
Bye.
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 So it is you and me, Rack. Just you and me for 40 minutes of talking and scariness and creepiness and all kinds of stuff. So I've got a lot of SoundCloud. Are you ready?
I have to be.
This is Titus. And I can't wait to hear this because I listened to nothing before because, you know, I like to be surprised. I should probably not do that. I've been a little too surprised at times, but I can't help it. I like the surprise. So here he is, and this is a reading for Halloween, Casting Shadows.
A reading for Halloween, Casting Shadows. The Book of Shadows, with due caution, not to unravel. The contents inside do show briefly a depiction of death, a scarier than thou effect in truth. A suffering last breath had advised I keep the book closed, for fear does travel. A Pandora's box, Necronomicon, a voice will have spoke of one's living hell. Nosferatu, whose last reign emerged, frequently enough witchcraft has made me aware, urged by words the ethereal soul shall be the servant to provoke, as others who from folklore did the passing of the ages. Poison minds were forged to keep Halloween. It uncovers a deep understanding with death to embellish both covers, self-sweet lips, sealed within the burden upon the pages. It's like a cauldron to invoke, churning time and time again. For who this book is written, the shadows, or whose ghost did cast a weary eye over suffering? Why, thy twain be almost portent to speak of, why fear assists with a muffled refrain.
It's creepy, Titus. You know, I think it's awesome because usually there is this romanticism the way he reads. He's got this wonderful, it's almost like this, like a hillside, kind of this little lull to his voice that pulls you into the romance and the nuance and sadness and things like that. But this, from the very first word, I was like, ooh, here it comes, because he barely sounds like him. It's completely different. And that laugh at the end, love this, love this, love this, love this. And apparently this is from his book, Moods of the Macabre. And I must now go in search of, because that's my daily mood. But I love this. I love this. I love this. A suffering last breath has advised I keep the book closed, for fear does travel. Talk about a creepy Pandora's box, which he mentioned over here, and all of the wonderfulness between Pandora's box and the Necronomicon, the you know, Nosferatu. You don't see that in poetry often. I mean, this is perfect for Halloween, and perfect for the creepy factor alone, because, you know, curiosity killed the cat, or not, depends on that box. And but
yes, true.
Yeah, I'm telling you. The Book of Shadows, with due caution not to unravel. Contents inside do show briefly a depiction of death. And, you know, and I don't care how old we are, most of us have that, ooh, what's that? And then before we hear the warning, we want to open some things up and all hell breaks loose, because that's what happens. And but I love that it's a hint of it, that it's a warning of this. But the idea
that fear does travel is amazing, because it brings to mind all those little bits and pieces of stories and movies and just things that happen in real life where one person gets afraid and it's like a disease, you know? And then when it gets to the mob, it's like mass stupidity. But fear in shadows, even when it is unspoken, it like leaches into the essence of those around you. It's like they can tell. And then they because they can tell in whatever primal spidey sense, then their eyes start darting and they start looking for what's making you sweat when it's cold out and all that stuff. And it just goes that way. And nobody has to say anything. And so fear does try. It really does. It has a life of its own. And even in one's own self, when it takes hold and then you want to overthink it, if you're me and your mind hates you, and you take this little tiny speck of the possibility of something a little shadowy, and next thing you know, you're living in a world of darkness in the sunlight because you put it there yourself. Because, you know, I am who I am, and it's okay. So what do you think of this Halloween read?
Oh, this plays to everything that I love about language and I go so far as to say brilliance. The two words, casting and shadows, there's double entendres for both of them. You know, when you talk about casting, you could be talking about like the Hollywood casting, you know, but spell casting and casting as in, you know, the casting of shadows, you know, the throwing of them. So, I mean, that one word alone just sets up such a stage. And then, you know, the shadows themselves, you know, the lurking, the things that lurk in the shadows, the shadows of light and darkness. Foreshadowing, the two perfect words to set up his story. And then, you know, like you said, you know, he mentions everything from Nosferatu on. But the language in this gives it so many layers and so much brilliance. To me, that you know, you could go through this and change the meaning of it left and right, and it's still creepy as hell. So you know, he did a wonderful job with it. You know, with all the language that you know, someone like me, I really appreciate when you tell a story like that and you give us that opening, that ability to kind of reinterpret it as we see fit. But you know, it still sticks to the theme because there's no getting away from the darkness of it. So, you know, again, and the shadows, darkness, haha. You know, I really enjoyed it. Much, Titus. I really did.
It's funny because you mentioned all these castings, and I'm all like mold casting and the casting of broken limbs. And because I'm all, in, you know, in a crafty mood. And but I love the casting of spells and the casting of shadows and there they are. And there's a line in here. Frequently enough, witchcraft has made me aware, urged by the words, the ethereal soul shall be the servant to provoke, which almost feels like there's no choice that he's going to bring these things forward, that, you know, it is what it is. And here we go again. But in this wonderfully shadowed way. It's there, but it's not in your face. There's nothing in this that is so in your face, but it's there in your mind. And I love that. I love when you don't have to be all like that, where you don't have to write it out, but you still, you know, but you still provoke a mood, you know. Good mood, bad mood, creepy mood.
And the mention of the Book of Shadows, too, tying into the title, you know, that adds to the idea of the spell casting for me. And I believe it's mentioned elsewhere in Hollywood, if not literature. You know, the Book of Shadows, that's another thing that's mythical, the Book of Shadows, you know. And then he even invites death into it. So, you know, again, another layer. Wonderful use of language.
Well, that's one of my favorite things about the way he writes is his use of words. It's the
thoughtful.
Yeah. The Book of Shadows is it's one of those Wiccan ritual guides. So there you have
it. Okay, that's what I mentioned before. Okay. I know I've heard it before, and like I said, Hollywood's stolen it and used it and played off.
Hollywood uses things in any way, shape, or form to like take something that's based in reality, twist it into something else, and then that's what pop culture thinks is the truth. But I love how he pulls that in and talks about witches and stuff. So he is all up in the knowledge, and that's another thing. When he writes, there's
research.
An intelligence to it that I have the utmost respect for, because it's you can't write the way he writes if you don't know the words you're using or how to use them. So you know, being a logophile, I love that. So I have Mr. Rooster on the board, and he wrote a little ditty, and I get to read it. I think besides mine, if we get to mine, this is the last one that needs to be read. The other ones have a SoundCloud. So this is called, and the image is super creepy, with a girl in what looks like a christening gown or a lady in a wedding dress. I don't know. She looks like she's like a girl. Yeah, with like hair in her face and there's no face. And she's just standing there all in like old timey, it's reminiscent of if they put the girl in the ring in a dress. So because that movie creeped me out a little bit. This is Don't Want to Be Under Your Thumb by Rooster Cogburn. And I wish I could hear it in the lilt of his voice, because that would be amazing. But you guys are stuck with me. And it goes like this. Been sucking diesel from dawn to dusk, up hills, through valleys, deserted plain, open, endless expanse of rocky terrain, man-machine parched as withered husk. Motorway service station, welcome release, stop, disengage engine's raucous quaver, refuel, hamburger sustenance to savor, buy paper, refresh, sanitize of oil and grease. Back on road, rubber duck, steel pipe smoking. She ran out from behind roadside derelict, ghostly shroud, face hidden, long hair thick. Hit brakes, lock up, too late, now silence unbroken. Frantic search, highway ditch, under wheel, big axle, anticipating bloody gore, mind, vortex of emotion, no trace of body, just whiff of perfumed lotion with light zephyr, newspaper page, its headline, time capsule. Date Friday the 13th, December 1820. Lady Esmeralda's last words, no more a prisoner of loveless marriage, then ran from the door hit by wheels of galloping horse and carriage. Okay, and poem. I love this. I love this. First of all, there's a rhyme scheme in this for every four-line stanza where it's A-B-B-A. Oh, my goodness. Well, hold on a second. Damn it. It's a sonnet. That's freaking brilliant. I was going to look at A-B-B-A, and I'm looking. I'm buying. There it is. I'm like, and I don't know if you heard me thumping. I was actually counting counting syllables because I speak that way. My God,
yeah.
I can't write, as I mentioned all the time, because it is the bane of my existence.
Your existence.
but here he is in all of, I actually have a vampire sonnet, that in all of its fabulous
beautiful
glory, it is a creepy sonnet of let me, accidentally run over this woman who died, 100 plus years ago. But, hey. It is that is awesome. That I love how he can smell the lotion. He's going through his long day. He's tired driving. Doing his trucker thing.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a little cleaned up. He relaxes a bit. The girly comes out and he hits him. He's like and bracing himself for the blood and the gore and smelling lotion on a light breeze. I absolutely love the vividity of this story and the little twist at the end. So this is fabulous. I love when people do creepy. It's awesome. And this was just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And it is, it's not easy to do an engaging kind of creepy anyway, but to do it in a sonnet, well, show off, it's fine. So, so your thoughts on this little shadow ditty?
Oh yeah, I love the. I think, you know, again, I sometimes feel like I toss the word brilliant around too much, but you know, I think we're surrounded by a lot of really talented people, and Rooster's definitely one of them. I'm a fan of the way he writes, and you know, this setup, the whole idea, you know, the sucking diesel, you know, that line alone is just enough to set a beautiful, beautiful mood. You know, you think of truckers and the all night and the Adderall or whatever the hell they take to keep themselves going, you know, the fights with timing and the GPS and the, you know, you're going too fast, you have to have been speeding, but, you know, they get penalized for not making stuff on time, you know. So that right there, just the idea of a trucker's brain, you know, just with those two words, brilliant. And, you know, I really enjoyed that. And then the whole story that falls into place after that, the, you know, so now I'm on the road and I'm staring, you know, they talk about like white line fever. It's an extension of that to me. You know, it's very relatable and very easy to understand what he's talking about, even if I haven't experienced it myself, because, you know, it's been written about, it's been talked about, and he conveys the idea beautifully in his words. And then, you know, next thing you know, he's running someone over and bracing himself for the after effects of that, and then finding that, you know, wait a minute, it's not what I thought it was. You know, I love things like that, you know. You could write it away on the one hand, but logically, your mind wants to come up with an answer, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, or is it, you know? I really like something like that, you know, you find out about other things related to it and possible other explanations other than logic. Really enjoy it.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I had put Gonzo up, but I think I'm going to save him for the end because I haven't heard him read, and he has a SoundCloud, and so I think I want to close with that, just because I think that would be a nice little surprise for me. And so I put Kay up, so she's got a SoundCloud, and then Frank has a SoundCloud. And wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. No, yes, no. I could have sworn I saw something. Oh, I guess I didn't see it. Oh, hold on a second.
And that's teased. The theme of the evening.
I was teased.
The spirits are messing with you.
Oh, I thought I saw sky pop up. Fine, be that way.
The spirits are messing with you.
I'm telling you, I hope she comes by. So on the board, I have Miss K, and she has a SoundCloud. Are you ready?
I'm never ready. Go for it.
This is Crimson Snow, Servant Girl Annihilator. Love the title. And it goes like this.
Crimson Snow. The Servant Girl Annihilator by Kay. I creep in the night. Your slumber will be your undoing. As you sleep, my dear, I'll come in and take you by surprise. As my face is the last you will see. Shiny axe, a metaphorical package I stroke. One whack against the head, make it count. See the blood pool around her. Two whacks to inflict the torture more. By the third whack, you will no longer know what comes next. River of crimson, pull and dismemberment, the scalpel of my design. Division of two becomes her. Let me get to the point through your ears, my pleasure, as I keep swinging my axe, bits of you and the snow surrounding. As you sleep, I prey on women. Servant girl in my eyes, seen as nothing. I break into your room, dragging you outside to make this kill tidy, watching the innocence turn red. hatred of my rage inflicted. No voodoo spell will keep you safe, child, for I am the servant girl annihilator. My disgust for you knows no end. My infliction onto you as you leave this world, the shiny axe I want you to stare down as it draws near. Before you meet your maker, time to close your eyes, darling, as this final swing gives me what I seek. End poem.
I do so love creepy season, and or well, spooky season, but tonight is pretty creepy, so let's say hello to Sky. How are you?
Good, hello.
Hello, hello. It is late. I am all excited. It's like Christmas, except for that it's Halloween.
It's a Christmas Halloween.
Well, you know, I do love Jack Skellington, and I'm making bows with his face on it. You know, so I've got things going on. We're good. From now until my birthday, all good things. So this has to be one of my favorite poems from Kay. It is super creepy. It is all let me. I'm going to split you in two with this axe. But I'm going to do it outside because I don't want to leave a mess. Awesome. That is just awesome because, you know, you got to make it tidy. Why make more work for someone? That is just fabulous. And even the way she read it, she kind of slowed her voice down a little bit. And so you're listening. I creep in the night. Your slumber will be your undoing. So nobody's ever going to sleep again. As you sleep, my dear, I will come in and take you by surprise as my face is the last you will see. First of all, if that is all I read, that is creepy enough. That will put you in whatever your fears are about nighttime, whether it is ghosts, whether it is people coming, you know, like axe murderers or, you know, other nefarious humans, whatever it is. That just opens the door for your mind to make it your worst nightmare. And so I kind of love that. That is like the best way to delve into something creepy. And you've got the axe and, you know, you see, she whacks her in the head and that's not enough. And so the second one is more torture, but by the third, you won't even know what's coming next. It's just pulling dismemberment. I love that. Pulling dismemberment. There goes an arm. You know, there's some entrails. You know, I'm absolutely loving this. But it's just so sinister because with that pulling dismemberment, which is a wonderful turn of phrase, your mind does everything. Your mind does it all. And it is quite... it takes quite a talent to just plant these little seeds and let your mind go and run with it and grow the vines that strangle you. It is, you know, I kind of really love that. As you sleep, I prey on women. As I break into your room, dragging you outside because, you know, you got to make this kill tidy. I love the idea of that, that in all of this gruesomeness, can't leave a mess. You know, it's just, you know, because apparently if she's a servant girl, you know, then she would have to clean that, so I get that. But, yeah, voodoo can't keep you safe, child, which Lady A mentioned earlier. You know, you got to do what you can to protect yourself from whatever evil spirits are coming your way, but not in this case. You're going to be hacked up to bits any old way outside in the cold. And so I absolutely love that. Love that, love that, love that. So, Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts on this little axe murder?
Yeah, Blog Talk kicked me out in the middle of it. I knew it was going to happen in the beginning. I heard the title and then silence. Blog Talk does that sometimes. But yeah, I like psychological things like that where your mind plays those tricks and plants the seeds of, you know, what's going to happen. You know, it's that whole logic versus reason, I think, you know, when the spirits do get involved, it's you know, if you, I won't say aware, but you know, if your mind is open to the possibility, you know, sometimes you're fortunate enough to, like you say, see these things happening and play out, and you're able to interact even, you know, sometimes to your detriment, sometimes to your benefit, you know, by being able to shoo them away. I think, and you know, just the word voodoo evokes, you know, all those thoughts of, you know, Hollywood and religion and chicken feet and bleeding and religion, yeah. But at the same time, you know, there's I think a misunderstanding of it too. You know, the people that will actually practice it would take exception to some of those images and some of that misrepresentation. And, you know, it certainly means different things to different people. But, you know, the idea that the word evokes, you know, a certain feeling, too, enables you to tell a lovely story and take it down, you know, a certain path and evoke that idea, that feeling of helplessness. It's really a great, cute idea. I have to listen to it again later and give her a comment.
Absolutely. She did a great job. I love this piece. I like this side of UK. It's wonderfully fitting for one of my favorite seasons. And Sky, have you heard of because I can speak. Did you get a chance to hear the poem too?
I didn't hear it, but I read it when you guys were commenting. I thought this was cool. And I read in the author's notes that it was for a murder mystery show that she had done, and she was assigned a servant girl. I think that's pretty cool. I liked the storytelling. I have to be honest, I didn't read every word because I was listening to you guys, so I will have to reread it fully, or perhaps maybe listen to her SoundCloud. I do prefer to do that. I like when there's sound links in it. You know, the river of crimson pooling dismemberment, a scalping of my design division of two becomes her. Let me get the 2 points through your ears. She doesn't shy away from the gore here. I thought this was pretty cool, wonderful storytelling, and she like gets right into the mind here. I really appreciate the bit of first person haunting aspect she has in this creepy writing. It's really, really well done.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. There was a lot of
I'm locking my doors tonight.
You missed all the eyeballs. Deb brought the eyeballs and the maggots. If you want blood and gore, feel free to peruse them solo because she brought it hard. And
She wrote that poem for my contest.
That is awesome. And you know. Okay, so I put Frank up, and then you can read. Well, you have a choice. I was going to close with Gonzo because I never heard him, and he has a SoundCloud. But since you're here, if you want to close with that, that would be perfect. So it's your choice. Do you want to go after, or do you want to go at the very end?
Oh, you pick. I can't do that.
You pick. You have all of Frank to decide.
I'll wait. So I want to make sure you get everybody else read. I want to make sure you have all your other ones read first, so whatever.
Okay, so Sky's going to close us out. That's awesome. Okay, so Frank is on the board, and he has a SoundCloud, and I know I put it in here. Where is it? Well, it's alphabetical, so if I knew my alphabet, I would have found it earlier. And here we go.
Damn studio, don't tell me.
No, it's playing. It says that it's playing.
You are inside a puzzle box. If only your terrifying fears. The realm of the preternatural. Not a soul to help you escape. You are the wretched prisoner of my perverted game enjoyed. I am the sole master to pain, for I control your emotions. You sense my presence near, and you try to erase thoughts
driving you bloody insane when the silence is broken. I'm hidden in your drear chamber, listening to the haunting screams as I play with your mind sadistically. You are my marionette on strings. You fight against your pleasures, suppressing the urge of submission into the power of my seduction. You are mesmerized by my voice. I whisper emerging from the shadows as your heart beats with excitement and your body yearns to feel my touch, covering you in a blood of crimson stains. Behold the Cenobite, every inch of my head tattooed with a harsh grid, and at intersections of horizontal and vertical axes, a jaw pin-driven through the marrow of bone. My vile tongue speaks with a fire of condemnation. The night is young and virginal, the hour of the dreadful Cenobites, when dreams become nightmares and the boogeyman becomes real. Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. We have such sights to show you. We'll tear your soul apart. This isn't for your eyes. Oh, the suffering. I want to hear you confess. Are you bloody scared?
You know, I haven't seen Hellraiser in quite a while, and I kind of want to watch it. It's been a long time, but there, you are the, what is it? You are the wretched prisoner of my perverted game. Enjoy it. I am the sole master to your pain, for I control your emotions. Love that verse. Love it, love it, love it, love it. And so he's going through all of this, driving you nuts, and because, you know, it's their job to torture the humans. And so he goes through all of this, all of this, all of this, and where is it, where is it, where is it? You fight against your pleasures, depressing the urge of submission and the power of my seduction. You are memorized by my voice. And I'm just like, well, okay, everything else is very much leading to the torture and the pain and the nightmares and this other realm of divine torture. And his voice changed a bit in this, you know, suppressing the urge of submission. I'm just like, oh my, because, you know, it's you fight against your pleasures. And I love the idea of that, and not so much in a sensual way, but I just love the idea of that, because out of just that line alone, how often do people, me included, because I am a person, but how often do people go against what they actually want for whatever reason, or feel bad because they like something, or whatever? I have a lot of guilty pleasures, and I give no shit. None whatsoever. It's PG-13. It's okay. And so I am, you know, a rare breed in that I learned early on that why should I miss out on the little tiny little things that give me joy just because I give a crap what somebody else thinks? But it was a hard lesson. So, you know, when you learn young, you learn hard. But So I really liked that line, even out of the context of this poem. But I think that he absolutely did the Cenobite justice. The pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
So rack and torque. So how's this for a little Hellraiser?
Just by mentioning the puzzle box, like you said, it evoked the idea, the images of Pinhead and Hellraiser. For me, you know, physical torture is a different realm. You know, it's the mental torture that really is scary. You know, it's one thing to lop someone's finger off. That's like, you know, okay, we can kind of deal with that. But the mental torture, you know, did that just happen? Ideas, I think, are far worse for me. Pulling up, you know, memories of children and or you know, past experiences and making you wonder, you know, is it real or is it not? You know, what's reality? That to me is the real idea of torture. So, that's a real, very appealing idea. When it comes to that kind of a right, that's the direction I prefer. So I appreciate something like that, that thought, that emotion.
Awesomeness. And Miss Skye, what are your thoughts on the Cenobites?
Oh, I loved it. I read this when we did the Hellbound Heart. I actually was the first time I read the book that Hellraiser was based off of by Clive Barker. It was over at Poetic Slice. So I got to hear this before. I love hearing it again. I love the way that he brings in the character, the sinister voice that he puts on, very theatrical. And, of course, he brings in that infamous line of, "I will tear your soul apart." He has such a wonderful way of delving into character rights and making them his own. Very, very well done.
Oh, you're getting all staticky, Sky.
I don't think that it's me. Maybe
I think
she
stopped.
Did you hear me?
Yeah. It's okay. Ebbing and flowing. I don't know what it is. I'm glad it's not you because I heard that just fine. So we have Gonzo on the board. He's got a SoundCloud. It's a short one, or it's not too long. I think it's 2 minutes long. So are you guys ready? Let me know when you see it.
Bring it.
Okay, here we go. And I suppose I should say if we are all Gonzo, just, you know, I tend to shorten things up, my bad.
Harry, did you remember to lock the door?
Oh, God damn it.
I can't sleep if you don't lock the door.
For fuck's sake.
Don't die on us.
Imagination increases volume, turning tiptoes to timpanies. Beyond blackened corners, creaks become violently cacophonic. Bravery invited behind blissful, ignorant, viewed blindness. Some suspicious activity arousing anxiety sufficiently. Helplessly hoping cannot hide cresting catatonics. Nightmarish creatures nestling convincingly. Leery lookout fears fiends fight lightless.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Screams recorded, rendered symphonic.
What's going on? Are you there by yourself?
There's a bad man in your home.
You need to stay on the phone with me, okay? Just wait until we get there.
Killing willingly, with karmatic kindness.
Well, that was just a dramatic journey, wasn't it? I wish I knew what the beginning of that was from because it sounds familiar. But the second that voice, that voice. Before I get into comments, Gonzo, if you're listening to this, whenever you listen to this, I'm personally inviting you to Sunday night every week because we don't. You can provide us a SoundCloud or you can call in live because Sundays, it's a pretty sweet piece. Because that voice, holy hell, there's a rumble in there that I just can't even focus. Anyway, so the little bit of 911, what's the emergency? And those little real-life nuggets of things that happen when bad things happen was a brilliant little addition and editing in there. It was just an unexpected bit of reality that kind of punches this idea home. And only the alliteration with the bravely invited behind whistles. It was divine. You know, love it. Nightmarish creatures nesting convincingly. There's just all of these juicy little tidbits, little word magic. Even the end, killing willingly with karmatic kindness, you know? And there I thought karma was a bitch, but apparently not. And so I thought really hard. Well, it's, you know, and then you die, so I guess there's that because, you know, killing willingly with karmatic kindness. And I am written some sort of suspicious activity, arousing anxiety sufficiently. Love the way each line just kind of resonates and with the alliteration and the word choices, and it sets a tone that is driven home by that voice. You know, that voice can go either way. So again, inviting you to Sunday night. Just we're on the board somewhere. Look us up. And so, Sky, what do you think?
Oh, I love this one. We've got Clive Barker all over the place here. I did get to hear this one, too. First of all, I have to say I do love We Are All Gone, Joe. I think he's quite brilliant. I follow him on YouTube. He does such wonderful SoundCloud and, or rather, YouTube videos with poetry and mixing. Just wonderful theatrics with poetry. You know, for this piece here, he brought in the book Cabal, or rather the film Nightbreed, and that opening scene of the film when Dr. Decker comes in and kills everybody in the house or the family, he puts this into perspective in such a real way. You know, in the film, you're seeing it visually. You're saying, okay, this killer is coming in and killing the whole family. And it's a thriller. It's a dark film, so you're expecting that. But I think Gonzo brings in, because he uses the clip of 911, he brings in this real. I guess reality would be the word, a tangible reality that brings it to a much darker place than just watching a scary movie. So I think that he did an excellent job with this. I really enjoyed this one, as I always do.
I don't know that I have heard him before, so this is a first for me, and so I'm going to have to, being that this is a YouTube link, I'm going to have to just listen.
Yeah, he's pretty good, yeah.
And you said that the opening scene was from Nightbreed?
Well, that's what he wrote this for. He wrote it for the show. So
it was driving me nuts.
He was bringing in Dr. Decker. You know, that could have been influential to it, but that's what show this is dropped for. So awesome.
Another one I haven't seen in, 20 years? I'm not old. It's fine.
It's another Clive Barker. That's why I said you're getting Clive Barker is popular tonight.
Awesome. Well, you know, creepy is creepy. And when you do it good, you do it good. What can you say? It's spooky season, so, you know, all good things. And Miss Sky, you are up on the board, so did you bring us creepy?
Yeah, I did. So I know Deb brought you Children of the Corn and a poetic place. and so I wrote this for the show they had over there at Poetic, and I thought it would be cool to, since Deb brought you that, I would bring you the Crow's perspective on what Deb is, what's going on with Deb's poem here. If you're a Stephen King fan, what you should do as I'm reading, you should look at all the Stephen King's book titles, because I slung in quite a lot of book titles into the piece, so by Stephen King. So here it goes. It's He Who Walks Behind the Rose by Sky Darkholm. I dare not go to the place where he who walks behind the rose feasts in joyland misery and night shift drama. Maybe it is me. Maybe I'll. Is this better?
Not yet.
Okay, then it's not. Okay.
There.
Sorry.
It's better now.
I put you back on my headset, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But this is, I dare not go to the place where he who walks behind the rose feasts. In joyland misery and night shift trauma, the beast in dark towers that creeps and long walks of dead zone thinners, the secret windows and secret gardens of outsider and insider sinners. He with fingers like thin mantis limbs and talisman socks, sipping red wine, gold that settles over skeleton crew-cut corn tops. Those makeshift milkweeds that carry not the monarch, but the dark man made of black house bones, a body bag of double red suns shining in those neat, neat rows. Eyes of the dragon with fire starter props, a thin line of blood tracing green mile walks, ticks that chime 4 past midnight, an insomnia of nightmares and dreamscapes, needful things that hammer a demand of death. And there is no escape. So I do not go to where the place where he who walks behind the rose feasts. I'm just going to take my headset off and just read to you. Hold on. The dark half of corn where a flag of rot spines and spidery tripod, a radio tower holding haunting secrets like the diaries of Rimbrower, feeding different seasons of running men, burning them like slaughtered farmhouse pets in cemetery lots. No, I do not make a stand. I hide from the shadow of the walking man, he who hides behind the rose, and he who scares even I, the black feathered crow. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, that's all done. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had to take my headset off because I have to really focus when I read, and there was too much background noise, so I didn't know if I am one of you. I'm sorry.
It's my fault. I'm sorry.
I really have to focus when I read out loud, and if I get so, I apologize for that.
No, you're fine. You are perfectly fine. I am loving the ending of this. He who hides behind the rose, he who scares even I, the black feathered crow, because we all know scarecrows don't scare shit. And so that is awesome that it's scaring the crow that's probably perched on the scarecrow itself, on the actual, and, you know, maybe it is a scarecrow. But I love that. I love the needful things that will forever remind me of the book. You know, I really do. I dare not go to the place where he who walks behind the roads feasts. Well, you know, maybe from that view up there, he can see all them little dwarves that are just eating kneecaps alive in a bloody mess of body parts. I'm loving this. The secret windows and secret gardens of outsider and insider sinners. You know, so far, I'd say most, if not all, of the poems tonight have had a line that takes me out of the poem and into my brain, like into all of these different levels of wow. And that line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, well, there's 11. I was like, that could be a 10-word poem, but there's 11. So an 11-word poem, whatever. Just because it stops you and makes you look at things differently. And and the scarecrow, that he with fingers like thin mantis limbs and talisman stalks. You know, you've always had this grace when you write. Doesn't matter what the hell you write. There's a grace to it. I tend to be a little bit more in your face and crass, but you know, we are who we are. And this is you know, and those makeshift milkweeds carry not the monarch, but the dark made of black house bones. You know, no butterflies will land here because they ain't stupid. I love this. There is an elegance to the creep factor that kind of heightens the creep factor because it's so elegant, you know, where it's different when it's in your face. It's different when it kind of grabs you by the throat and rips it out while you laugh. This is, it's a subtlety that carries you in right into the interstices of the words, where there you are. You've got these images, and this feeling kind of builds up in your bones and starts coming out in your hair as they stand on end a little bit. But it's delicate in its delivery, and I kind of really, really love that. An insomnia of nightmares and dreamscapes. I need to write a book called Nightmares and Dreamscapes. Is there a book called Nightmares and Dreamscapes? Anyways, I need to write one.
Yeah,
and,
that's a Stephen King. That's a Stephen King book.
There's a lot of those in here, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot. Diaries of Rembrandt, Thin Earth, or I Strewed in the Stand, and
uh-huh.
The Green Mile. The Running Man. There's quite a lot. Pet Cemetery.
Awesome.
They're streamed out, yeah.
See? Look at that. See, many layers of brilliance, woman. So, Bracken Tour, what are your thoughts of He Who Walks Behind the Rose?
I got to tell you, Sky, I had the benefit of a sugar crash while you were reading it, so I was floating. I was all over the place. It was beautiful. I mean, the elegance of the writing, like Pretty Bird mentioned, you know, one of the things that's always attracted me about your writing, on top of spookiness. And then I'm having a physical reaction at the same time. That was the noise that you heard, I think. Maybe puttering around, trying to get myself situated right. But
Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm going to be a little incoherent. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you got to love a poem that evokes any kind of physical reaction, whether it's the hair standing on edge, whether it kicks you in the gut, whether it grabs your heart or just like wrenches on painful memory, anything that makes you feel any kind of visceral anything is magical. It's the beauty of what makes poetry poetry. It's not just the telling of a story. It's the you know, evoking of emotion. And this does that in all of its delicate nature. And I love that it is. And now all I see is, and you even, you know, like capitalized Firestarter and everything else. I'm like, I keep on scrolling up and down. I'm like, oh, look, there are those lights. And because I like caught like three, and now I'm just like, oh, wow. You know, and it's a testament to your writing, by the way, Sky, that you can just put them in there, strewn all about. And if you don't know, you don't know. It's not like it's anything forced. It is a flow that you just put in there, and it's organic. So that's kind of fabulous. Because, you know, it's you.
Thanks, Pretty Bird. I'm sorry for making you go over.
It's fine. I rarely do. So, you know, and no better way to go over than on creepiness. So we're good. And but my oldest locked himself out of the house and has been outside since 1 o'clock because he's like, I forgot my keys, and I'm like, I'm doing a show. So so I mean, at least it's not raining. So I have to go and let that poor child in. And you guys have a wonderful night. I am so excited that you got to join us, Sky. What a wonderful surprise. And I had so much fun. And I don't know if you listen to the whole show, but I get a little personal in my history with ghosts. So if you want some real-life creepiness, feel free to listen, because I put it all out there with I guess I can't say the F word, but with none of those given, because it's spooky season. So there was some real-life creepiness.
Thank you. I was listening, but I think I missed your story. I started listening about 20 minutes in, and I was multitasking.
I think I spoke for that full 20 minutes on the history of my relationship with ghosts.
I'll have to check back in. It was truly a wonderful show. I was listening. I was just multitasking. It was a brilliant show. I think I started listening about 25 past. Right before you read the sweet pea. So it was a brilliant, brilliant show.
And she was our very first poem, so that tells you how much talking we did.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Thank you. I love that.
Thank you.
You guys have a wonderful, wonderful spooky evening. Feel free to look at the board with Deb's pictures, and you'll never sleep again. And you have a wonderful, wonderful night. Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.